This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go down memory lane here. Is there anything that kind of stands out to you from 1999 and being in the same room as Ron and Sean in Philadelphia?
Well, there are a lot of good memories, you know, being around Sean, of course, and young Sean and Ron and I, you know, go even farther back than 99, you know, playing together in Chicago. So, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of fun memories of being at the Vet, and trying to survive and dealing with all the things that come along with being in the basement of the Vet, whether it's varmints running around and cats trying to catch the varmints. And here we are trying to work in that environment at the same time as a young staff. But yeah, they're fun memories, fun memories.
How many did Ron or Sean stamp out?
Hey, we were doing our best trying to work around them and, you know, sick the cats on them as much as we could. We were all just fending for ourselves back in those days.
And because I know you and Ron played together back in, you know, in Chicago, but if you're looking at Sean, just what influence do you think, you know, having known Sean in 99, and then what influence did you see maybe Ron had on Sean, you know, during their time together in Carolina that you might have noticed when you got here in 2017?
You know, back then we were a new staff in 99, and we were all kind of learning our way and just figuring things out. I know for Ron and I, it was our first NFL coaching jobs, and the same for Sean, his first time coming into the NFL. So I think Sean would tell you that it was just a watching Ron model himself as a coach and as a person is probably what he took away from that experience. It wasn't so much verbal instruction or, hey, here's the way to do it or don't do it that way. It was more modeling than anything back then.
I'm sorry for taking up so much time here to my colleagues, but do you think, you know, because it was Sean was coming like out of William and Mary and you guys had played in the NFL, do you think that helped, you know, I don't want to say that Sean was intimidated by your presence, but the fact that, do you think that he looked gravitated to you guys because you guys had NFL experience and were on that defense?
I think it factored in for sure. I mean, that definitely mattered. The fact that we had played and now we were coaching mattered to Sean and our players as well. So I think that, you know, gave Ron credibility with Sean. I think Sean eventually worked with linebackers for a period, which was the position that Ron coached prior to his, you know, moving on. So I'm sure he picked up some things from Ron when it comes to coaching linebackers that helped him when he worked with that position for a period.
Last week, we talked a lot about how, as a defense, they didn't find any ways to take the ball away. And, you know, after the game, Jordan was really hard on himself and for not causing any turnovers. And you guys have two in this game. I guess just, you know, what is it like to see them put such an emphasis on that and then have it pay off in the game in such a big way like that?
Oh, it's awesome, you know, for that to happen, because it was definitely an emphasis throughout the week. That we wanted to take the football away and then for it to come to fruition in the game and really, you know, helped our team have success. It's a big deal. And so we'll continue to harp on it and hopefully we'll get the results continue going forward. But it just validates the importance of, you know, whatever you want to achieve, you know, emphasizing that, and you can achieve what you emphasize. So we're going to continue to do that.
Micah was, you know, praising your play calling after the game and, you know, saying that he loved like the aggressive play calling and the fact that you guys were blitzing you know, with guys in the back end. You saw Micah and Taryn have those sacks in the first drive there. Just, you know, was that, I guess, what was the mindset behind just being so aggressive like that, and then to see the pass rush just have such a huge day like that?
I'm not sure, Heather. I think he's speaking in code. He's, you know, saying, hey, get Coach Frazier to blitz me more. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. No, we, you know, we went into it saying we wanted to be aggressive and really attack the line of scrimmage, and our guys executed. I mean, that's the key to our success, the execution and the preparation during the week. A lot of the things that we did are things we've done in the past, but the execution was on point. And the guys did a terrific job during the week of preparing to go out and execute their assignments. And, you know, every week is a little bit different in how you approach that opponent. But that was what we thought we needed to do against that particular opponent.
I wanted to ask Jordan and Micah about Taryn Johnson's performance yesterday. They won't even let me get the question out because they had a lot to say about him right away. I mean, we've covered these stories in the past, guys that you've brought along and developed. But with Taryn, it's just like, I remember being in the locker room with him in 19, and some of those days, those hard practice days where you wonder, like, you know, is he going to kind of figure it out? I mean, his story is pretty remarkable in how he's kind of ascended to what he's doing now, right now.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, in those early days, not only was he wondering, we were wondering also, is he going to figure it out? Is he going to come along and be what we thought he would be when we drafted him? And to Taryn's credit, you know, he's worked extremely hard to get a good grasp of the defense to the point where now he's like a coach on the field. And Jimmy Salgado, who works with our Knuckles, has done a terrific job of spending time with him, you know, both at practice, in the classroom, pre-practice, post-practice. So that's helped as well. One of the bigger concerns with Taryn was the injury bug. Early on, you know, he continued to get injured and we you know, couldn't keep him on the field. But lately, he's been able to stay on the field and he's developed into a really, really good player, one of the best slot corners in the National Football League. So we are very fortunate to watch his development and see his maturation over this period.
Is that, you mentioned, you know, what he's able to do out there, play fast. We've talked about it with Tremaine a ton over the years. But what is maybe an example where you maybe saw a light go on in that department? Or is it just something over the course of time that you just get to a point?
I think in Taryn's case, it's just been a matter of steady growth at the position. Like, you know, for example, in the ball game yesterday, we're playing a zone coverage, where we want to kind of disguise it and make it look like man as much as we can. And he's doing a good job of that, you know, trying to trick the quarterback, which is something he wouldn't have done, say, 2 years ago. But because of his experience, because of his growth and his confidence, he's able to do things like that. And it turned out to be a play where he ended up stripping the football and Matt Milano ends up recovering the football just because of some of his disguise. And it was similar to the pick that he got in the Ravens game for a touchdown. Same deal, just moving around, trying to disguise and having the confidence to jump a play and make a big play. So just steady growth over a period of time.
Last week I asked you about Levi because they went after him. And you always say, and you said last week, you know, the best way is to make them stop going your way. Do you feel, obviously he left the game dealing with some cramping, but do you feel before that, that's exactly the bounce back type of performance that he had?
No doubt about it. He made a couple of nice plays in that ball game prior to his injury, one being the interception. And that was a big play for us. I think it was coming off of maybe a turnover. And then we go back out and we get a takeaway. And they try to attack him with a trick play, kind of bringing 88 out of the backfield. And there he is going up high for the ball, high pointed, you know, coming away with a big interception. Then he had a good pass breakup. Unfortunately, he got a personal autonomy foul in that instance. But you like the aggressiveness. You like the confidence that he was playing with. And you make more plays like that, you get less targets. But whoever lines up opposite Tre'Davious is probably going to get a lot more targets. It's just the way it is. And but the more you make plays, the less likely teams are going to come your way.
That was, I would call it an uncharacteristic display of emotion from him. I would I've joked with some people on our flight back today. Levi maybe is the last person I would expect to be the first to get a taunting penalty. Yeah. But we don't need to go down the taunting penalty rabbit hole. But, I mean, how rare is it for him to show that? He seems pretty even keel most of the time.
No, that's a good observation, John. That's not really his nature, his personality per se. He's one of those guys who's always under control, really smooth about the way he goes about doing things. But he did show some emotion on that play, and it's good to see. You know, it's good to see that he shows some emotion because it's there. He has that fire in his belly, and it's good to see sometimes.
And then just real quickly, AJ Epenesa, one of the few who didn't get a sack, but boy, was he incredibly disruptive. Is that what you envisioned when the decision was made for him to change his body and almost change his style of play to become, rather than the power rusher he was in college, to more of a speed guy?
Absolutely. That was our hope and our desire when we talked to him about losing the weight, that this is what we wanted to see, more speed, because we felt like he had the athletic ability. But at 280 pounds, we weren't sure that we would get what we wanted at our level. And so in our scheme and how we do things. So dropping that weight and seeing what he did yesterday and what he's done through training camp and now through the preseason and then the regular season is exactly what we were hoping for. And there's a lot more good to come.
Were there any moments during the week where you felt like these guys are really excited about this game plan or really confident in it?
I think on Thursday, I really felt like they had a really good grasp. After I watched the tape on Wednesday and we went through the third down package after we had finished the first second down package, you could see their confidence level in the game plan building. And then when we wrapped up on Friday, you know, it really was excited about the direction that we were going and how in tune the guys were with our vision as coaches, how we saw the game unfolding. Each time I talked to Tremaine or Jordan or Micah, our signal callers, they kept saying some of the same things that we were saying as coaches. So then you know that they kind of got the vision of what we anticipate. And so, yeah, maybe about Thursday I had a good feel that we were on track.
I just wanted to ask about Matt Milano's game. Anything stick out watching his tape?
Just how active he was. I mean, he won almost every time he went up against their running backs and protection. He won his battle and pass coverage as well. He was all over the place and very active and disruptive. Had a really good game for us, really good game.
The idea with Greg Rousseau when he was drafted, there were a lot of people that suggested that he may be a guy that you want to bring along slowly, given that he opted out last year. He really only had 1 year of big-time production in major college football. What has it been about him that you guys saw something different? I mean, here he is, you know, leading all snaps among your edge rushers yesterday by a pretty wide margin. How has he gotten so comfortable so quickly in your system that you're willing to put him in that position?
Yeah, I think it's just been a process, Jay, just watching him through the offseason program and then his production in the preseason. You know, we saw some things early on, but until we got the pads on in training camp, you really didn't want to, you know, put in a definition on what we were seeing. But the more we watched him in training camp, the more we watched him in meetings, the more we watched him in practices, the more our confidence grew as a staff. And then when we started playing games in the preseason, his production matched what we were seeing and training camp. And the game was never too big for him, even though he had that year off without any football. There wasn't a big drop-off. And so what we saw in training camp and in the preseason games has continued in these first two ball games of the season.
Great game plan yesterday. 0-for-4 on fourth down. Care to talk about that as well? And contributions from your number two corners and Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson's big tackle on that fourth down as well, Coach.
Yeah. No, that's a good point you bring up. Those fourth and ones, fourth and twos, those were big plays, man. Because they're like sudden change in a lot of ways. When you, as an offense, have a chance to convert fourth and one, you're believing that you can. We can get 1 yard or we can get 2 yards. And then you get stopped. And at times you put the other team's offense on a short field. What a momentum turn that is. And for our players to come up with those are game changing plays. And it was really good to see how we stood up in those moments. Big plays. Dane and Levi both played extremely well. Levi had some good tackles and some pass breakups and obviously an interception that we talked about earlier. But that tackle by Dane, on that, I think it was 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2 that he made. That was a huge play in the game. And they're in the red zone, chance to get at least 3, maybe a touchdown, and we get a turnover on down. So great tackle, great play. Good to see by a young guy who we're counting on to continue to develop.
Absolutely. And now we already know, Coach, that you possess one of the best back ends in the NFL. And last year, you know, it was a big problem concern in the run defense. But this year, you guys have been very stout against the run. You know, you only held them to, 70 yards this week. Tyler Tulule getting out there. What kind of impact do you think that he had out there in reference to the run, D, Coach?
Yeah, Starman, he's been really good for us. It's great to have him back. He's had a lot to do with how stout we've been against the run in these first couple of ball games. And, you know, he helps all the players around him. Okay, that's the good thing about it. It makes Ed Oliver a little bit better. It makes Justin's a little bit better. Vernon Butler, all those guys are benefiting from the fact that Star's in, obviously our linebackers, off the ball because of how disruptive Star can be in the run game. They're benefiting as well.
Wanted to ask you a bit about Ron. I know you guys are close. How do you think he handled his first year in Washington with everything going on, including his own health and issues there? I mean, what did you make of his first year?
I thought he did a terrific job under the circumstances that you just alluded to. And it was not an easy year by any stretch with all the stuff that was going on. And then to get the team to the playoffs, that's a big deal under those circumstances. And it was hard. It was hard for him physically. It was hard emotionally, but he found the strength and the wherewithal to show up and come to work and motivate and really lead and do some adverse times. And there was a lot of stuff going on off the field as well as what was going on the field. So I thought he did an outstanding job.
You're one of the few who have seen him as both a player and a coach. How does his play style compare to his coaching style? Is it sort of the same demeanor or maybe a little bit more brash on the field?
I think there's some similarities. You know, as a player, he was a cerebral guy, a really smart player who I'm not surprised he's a coach today just because of the way he was as a player. I mean, he was backing up a Hall of Fame middle linebacker, Mike Singletary. So, but his knowledge of our defense and his ability to be able to communicate with his teammates. And then when he was on the field, the way he played, I mean, he played smart, you know, could anticipate plays based on formations. And I see some of that as a coach, how he can anticipate situations before they arrive. And having a chance to talk with other coaches that have been his assistants in the past, they talk about that fact that Ron has the ability to foresee things before they actually happen. And that's the Ron that I remember, man. He was just so smart and always a step ahead. And that's helped him to be one of the best coaches in our league.
On the sense of that, do you see Sean in Ron? How are they alike?
Yeah, you know, obviously both have defensive backgrounds, so they're always, you know, concerned and involved to a degree with the defense. Their demeanor is a little bit different. Ron maybe a little more relaxed in some certain situations. Sean is more like Ron and his plan and his detail. They both are very detail oriented guys, really like to plan things out. I can see that influence that Ron had on Sean when it comes to that from an organizational standpoint. So very similar in that way. Their coaching styles are a little bit different. When you see Ron, he can be very stoic on the sidelines. I don't think that's changed. I haven't had a chance to watch many of their the rest of the Washington football team games. But I know Sean is very intense on the sidelines. And that probably is probably the biggest difference in the two.
Washington's defense has gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. And I'm wondering from a defensive perspective, how potent offenses are nowadays and less training time. Like, is it harder for defenses to get off to a faster start this time of year than ever before? Like, how has kind of the shift in like the CBA and everything kind of attributed to that, or if it has at all?
Yeah, I think it's definitely more difficult compared to what I remember in the past when you could actually tackle in training camp. You could be on the practice field a little bit longer, spend more time with the players. And in this COVID environment, the way training camp has had to be altered, It's definitely made it more difficult to get done some of the things you want to get done to get prepared for a season. So, and then when you have one less preseason game as well, all those things factor into maybe getting off to a slower start on defense than you might would want. But eventually, you know, you catch up. But the way things are structured now definitely makes it more challenging to be up to speed by week one as a defense.
Going back to Ron for a minute, my understanding is you helped talk him into becoming a coach in the first place.
You know, I wasn't going to bring that up. I was going to let him bring that up. one of the conversations that you guys would have with him. But I do take credit for all those Coach of the Year awards that he's received, for sure. When I was a head coach at a very small school in Chicago, and Ron was trying to figure out what he wanted to do once he got through playing, I told him, I said, come over here and join me on my staff, man. You'd be a really good coach. And he didn't want to coach at the time. He wanted to dabble in other things. And then he eventually, his wife, matter of fact, ended up coming over to the school where I was at and was the assistant basketball coach at the college where I was at. And then eventually Ron went over and did some quality control, worked with the Bears. And next thing you know, we're both in Philadelphia as assistant coaches. And I told him, I said, didn't I try to tell you that you were a coach, man, and one day you're going to be a head coach and a good coach? And he said, yeah, man. I remember you talking to me about that. And so now, every time we get a chance to talk, I do remind him of that, he owes me some residuals of some sort for getting him into this occupation, for sure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.